all of its forms. We are the SFU Disability and Neurodiversity Alliance. We are DNA. We provide support for students who are having difficulty with their schooling or accessing the services they need. Email access@sfss.ca or drop by the DNA Resource Center, room 1300 in the sub-building. That was access@sfss.ca, room 1300 in the sub-building.
Hi, my name is Taku. I want to say shout out to all the raccoons on campus. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
We are doing this together. We're burning alive together. We're drowning together as a community, as neighbors. On this planet Earth, we are starving, swept into the sky by the wind, plunging down the valley on the flood, starving in this drought. We're in a global emergency, a heat wave now in its 25th month, each month the hottest. Science can't explain why. It's not just climate change. It's as if the Earth is murdering us, as if the Earth is resurrecting us, as if the Earth is making us evolve against our will. Or are we killing ourselves? We're burning. We're drowning. We have this global heat wave coming here. Sandy, Katrina, Helene, Chantal, Paradise, Lahaina. We have relatives and friends, loved ones. We're doing this together. We're in a neighborhood bursting into flames. We have only polluted water to drink, no cloud cover, mysterious diseases, cancers, viruses, psychological confusion, as the changes come too fast, too basic. Certainly we have people here in this audience. Certainly we have people here at this microphone. Certainly we burn down, go crazy. We know we are in danger. We know this. Sharing a life-ending emergency together, we don't know how to talk about it. And we don't know how to listen to each other about it. There's no conversation here. We're stuffing it down, suppressing it. We're walking around with it. We don't know how to share the news. We've never done this before. It's all new to us. We've got to figure this out. Shall we work on this? Shall we work on this? Shall we work on this together?
years straight in prison for something they didn't do and was not really legally convicted of. My co-host, four of us that was charged with killing two FBI agents. One guy wasn't even in the state that was charged, and Jimmy Eagle. And my co-defense was found not guilty by reasons of self-defense. They were able to prove and show what the government was doing. They killed over 60 Lakota people over there. All you have to do is look up the church investigation committee, and they found 62 natives were killed. And so they said, put the full weight of the American government on Leonard Peltier. We need a conviction. This is our last time to get a conviction. When I was no more guilty than my co-defendants. And so I spent 49 years. I didn't think I was going to make it. I'm 80 years old. I was a young man with a wedding name. I was 32.
From the natural world, I'm Savitri D. Scientists at Imperial and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine used peer-reviewed techniques to calculate that about 2,300 people in 12 European cities likely died from the heat in last week's bout of high temperatures. Of those 2,300, 1,500 died because of the extra degrees that climate change added to the natural summer warmth. 1,100 of those who died were over 75 years old. A 2023 study in Nature Medicine estimated that since 2015, for every degree Celsius the temperature rises in Europe, there's an extra 18,547 summer heat deaths. New research finds that not only will climate change make heat waves hotter and longer, but the lengthening of heat waves will accelerate with each additional fraction of a degree of warming. In a study published in the journal Nature Geoscience, research led by J. David Nealon at UCLA found that the longest heat waves will see the greatest acceleration, and the frequency of the most extreme heat waves will increase the most. Each fraction of a degree of warming will have more impact than the last, said Nealon. The acceleration means that if the rate of warming stays the same, the rate of our adaptation has to happen quicker and quicker, especially for the most extreme heat waves, which are changing the fastest. Southeast Asia and the equatorial regions of South America and Africa will likely see some of the greatest impacts. The research projected that heat waves in equatorial Africa lasting more than 35 days would happen 60 times more often in the near future compared with the recent past. Melting glaciers may impact volcanic activity. New research in the Chilean Andes shows that melting glaciers during the last ice age unleashed volcanic eruptions by reducing pressure on magma systems. More than 100 volcanoes lie beneath Antarctica's West Antarctic ice sheet, where melting could destabilize ice from below and send ash and gases into the atmosphere. Rising sea levels from ice melt may also increase seismic activity by adding water weight, a phenomenon observed around large reservoirs. Water temperatures in the Mediterranean Sea have surged past historic highs, reaching over 85 degrees Fahrenheit in parts of the Western Basin, signaling one of the planet's most intense marine heat waves. The Mediterranean Sea is experiencing a marine heat wave with water temperatures up 12.6 degrees Fahrenheit above normal, weeks ahead of the typical summer peak. High pressure systems over southern Europe and the Mediterranean are amplifying the heat, with little wind or cloud cover to cool the water. Extreme ocean warmth threatens marine ecosystems and could worsen storms and coastal humidity, with the heat wave likely to persist into late July. Greek farmers are buying banned pesticides from black market suppliers in Bulgaria and Turkey, driven by high costs and worsening crop threats tied to climate change. EU data shows that at least 14% of pesticides used today are illegal, with some areas of Greece reaching 25%. Seized products often contain substances banned due to links with organ damage and cancer. Law enforcement and regulators say the illicit trade resembles organized crime, but limited staffing and reliance on tip-offs hinder enforcement, especially in rural markets. Since launching in January 2025, the $9 congestion fee for entering Manhattan's core has led to 2 million fewer vehicles a month, a 15% jump in traffic speeds, and a 2.5% drop in carbon emissions. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority expects to raise $500 million this year from the toll, funding subway repairs, new electric buses, and regional rail improvements. While initially unpopular, the toll now has more public support than opposition, and some critics, including New Jersey's governor, have softened after seeing reduced traffic even outside the zone. Methane SAT, an $88 million satellite backed by the Environmental Defense Fund and international donors, stopped communicating with Mission Control on June 20th after just under a year of operation. The satellite had been providing high-resolution data on methane leaks from fossil fuel operations, helping pinpoint emitters in North America and Central Asia with greater accuracy than previous methods. Although the satellite was expected to last 5 years, its early demise leaves a gap in independent emissions tracking. The Environmental Defense Fund has not announced plans for a replacement. And I couldn't find even conjecture about what happened to that satellite. Sometimes animals develop habits that seem to serve no clear purpose. For instance, a fashion trend among orcas who were seen wearing a dead salmon on their heads, as well as countless examples among humans, including hairstyles and vocal tics. In 2010, primate researcher Edwin Van Leeuwen discovered that a female chimpanzee at the Chimfunshi Wildlife Orphanage Trust Sanctuary repeatedly stuck a blade of grass in her ear and left it there for no apparent reason. Later, seven of her group members adopted the behavior, and even after the female trendsetter died, the behavior continued, and some chimps in the group still do it today. Van Leeuwen and his colleagues describe this behavior as a cultural tradition. More than a decade later, chimpanzees in another group at the same sanctuary also began sticking blades of grass in their ears. They did not copy this behavior from the earlier group since they had no contact with them. But in the new group, the trend did not stop with the ear. While five of the eight chimpanzees in the new group stuck grass in their ears, six of the eight also let a blade of grass dangle from their behinds. Van Leeuwen and colleagues are not entirely sure whether the grass trend is truly useless. Van Leeuwen notes, "It could also serve a social purpose. By copying someone else's behavior, you show that you notice and maybe even like that individual. So it might help strengthen social bonds and create a sense of belonging within the group, just like it does in humans. Certain kinds of gut microbes absorb toxic PFAS forever chemicals and help expel them from the body via feces. New research shows the findings are welcome news, as the only options that exist for reducing the level of dangerous PFAS compounds from the body are bloodletting and a cholesterol drug that induces unpleasant side effects. The microbes were found to remove up to 75% of some PFAS from the gut of mice. Several of the study's authors plan to develop probiotic dietary supplements that boost levels of helpful microbes in the human gut, which would likely reduce PFAS levels. New research across eight sites around the UK shows evidence of a deeply concerning trend. Ancient woodlands are failing to regenerate. Despite having vastly different species, soil types, rainfall, and temperatures throughout the year, all the sites were following the same trend. The saplings were dying. The study found that sapling mortality rate increased by 90%, from 16% of saplings a year on average dying before 2000 to 31% in 2022. This means that an average sapling's chance of survival after 5 years has fallen from 41% to just 15%. There was also a 46% drop in the number of small trees becoming established over the same period. At some sites, no saplings at all have survived since 1995. The research is based on rare, long-term monitoring of the same areas of ancient woodland since 1959, which allowed researchers to monitor changes over six decades. Global heating, disease, and overgrazing by deer could all be causing the loss. Drought and extreme heat have become commonplace in many forests. In addition, the rate of biomass loss has started to increase across the study sites, with a rise in mortality rates of the largest trees observed in some areas, rising from 0.5 to 0.8% a year. This means that one in every 125 of the largest trees die every year, instead of one in every 200. And now, the sounds of extinction, the sola. Often called the Asian unicorn, little has been uncovered about the enigmatic sola in the three decades since its scientific discovery. None exist in captivity. Sola are a cousin of cattle, but resemble antelope. They are recognized by two parallel horns with sharp ends, which can reach 20 inches in length, and are found on both males and females. Sola means spindle horns in Lao and a Thai ethnic language in Vietnam. Sola have striking white markings on the face and large glands on the muzzle, which may be used to mark their territory or attract mates. They are found only in the evergreen broadleaf forests of the Central Annamites on the border of Vietnam and Laos. There are an estimated 100 remaining in the wild. And hear the sound of the forests of Vietnam.
I was in the car with Savitri. Savitri and Billy driving across South Dakota for days, destinationless. Miles and miles of corporate farming, GMO corn, soybeans. And we kept going. We came out to Sioux country. All of a sudden, there weren't any fences anymore. And we gravitated down toward what is known as the Badlands. And we paid some money, I think it was $12 or something, to go into the Badlands. 37-mile drive in your car on the edge of white and pink and purple and black streets. striated rock, very beautiful. A little on the order of the Grand Canyon, coming right out of the prairie. We drove for a while. We had both been there before, years before, when we were much younger. Something about the whole thing was not quite making it for us this time. And we pulled into this scenic, I think they called it a viewing point. I think they were called viewing points. Little parking lots on the edge of the promontory that juts out over the panoramic rock of the Badlands. And we never talked about it, but we just sort of stepped over the fence and started walking into the scenic view. And just ingested some kind of, inhaled some sort of breath of bravery or something. We had to know that. I mean, there were signs and everything. You can't leave the little cul-de-sac. We walked down, down, down into the scenic view. We pierced the scenic view. We committed the crime of becoming people inside other people's scenic view. You're not supposed to have any people over there. We kept walking, not talking, walking farther and farther. And then we sort of walked through a sort of crease in the beautiful layered rocks. I went up into the sky like a city block up. We walked in this little narrow canyon. Came out behind the scenic view. And there was a beautiful meadow there. A kind of, would you call it a swale? What's a swale? Have I heard that word somewhere? There might have been a little stream there. I don't think I saw the stream, but it's a little bit like a valley. We walked into this meadow of all these native long grasses. It's different. We still weren't not talking. I mean, we held hands now and again. Mostly we just kept walking. All the sounds of the wind in the grass, the wind whistling through the rocks. And then finally we sat down. We lay on our sides and then waited. Waited for a long time. And then the grassland around us began to change. There were heads surfacing in the grasses, looking at us. Animals of different kinds. Antelope. Deer. Bighorn sheep. We knew there were other animals too. Looking at the eyes. And we were there long enough to feel that this place was alive with eyes, ears, senses. So many beings. We were watching each other. The place was being. with itself. So many eyes.
You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.